Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in upstate. I don't know if it's beautiful downtown Greenville today, but I will tell you this much, Diesel. It's beautiful out here at Garlington and Woodruff Road. Second best day of the year behind yesterday, but today may be a little bit better. Why? Because we got the first round of the Masters going on right now, and we're going to keep you updated throughout the show. Why? Because you can hear America just freaking out with giddiness right now as Tiger Woods is on the 17th hole, about to close out his round, and he's tied at minus three for the lead with Gary Woodland, John Rahm, Adam Scott, and Justin Harding. Now, Adam Scott and Justin Harding, they're done with their rounds. John Rahm playing with Tiger Woods, and, of course, Gary Woodland there at the top as well. So we'll keep you up to date on what's going to be a great leaderboard. My two guys are still in play, if you will, and we'll go from there because we may have a little bit of a turn in the weather here over the next couple of days. And that's one of the things I think I'm excited about. When it comes to this year's Masters, it is already I think one of the best ways to put it is what we said with Jim Hart the other day. For golf fans, this is your Graceland, for Elvis fans. And these fairways and greens this year look a little bit more emerald than they have in years past. For whatever reason, the sand looks a little bit whiter. It might be just simply the fact the amount of rain that we've had here in the last couple of months. But I thought that might make the course be a little bit soft and we see somebody go 6 under today. I'm excited about there's a big pack. Forget Tiger Woods in there, but it's only 3 under. And guess what? It's going to play a little bit more difficult as the weekend goes on. So we'll keep you updated with the Masters as we go throughout the day today. And you can give us your opinions. We'll give you some storylines that I want to pay attention to. We have two interviews coming up today. Daniel Fague, the Upstate Spartans Athletic Director, they've got a pretty big couple of weeks coming up, Diesel, including finding a way to get you to attend this weekend's baseball and softball games over there on campus in Spartanburg. Then at 6:37, we'll talk with Dan Favalli, the lead NBA writer for the Bleacher Report, as we now have the matchups when it comes to this year's NBA playoffs. And those begin on Saturday and Sunday, the four matchups in the East, the four matchups in the West. So we'll talk about that, even though everybody else, it seems like, when it comes to the NBA, still wants to talk Magic Johnson, the Lakers, and the LeBron situation, which, again, just gets me back to we're doing it wrong when it's highlighting these individuals. You know, we heard Panther Nation close out the show yesterday. Nothing but a frustrated Laker fan. Had nothing to do with LeBron or anything else. His love's with the Lakers. And they're the one probably franchise out there at this point, due to their heritage, due to their legacy, that they can have that kind of storyline, if you will, while not even being in this year's playoffs. So interesting nonetheless. So a lot of different things that we're going to get into today, including giving you our question of the day. Basically, here in the first hour, let's talk a little college football while we watch how Tiger Woods finishes up there in Augusta, including a pretty interesting, some interesting comments from Dabo Swinney, and then some interaction from you guys when it comes to your individual teams and your passions in college football. But, of course, got to look a little bit backwards to be able to look forward. Clemson baseball last night. They hosted the Furman Paladins and improved to 25-8 on the year with a 2-0 win over Furman. Listen, I'm glad that game wasn't until 6 p.m. first pitch-wise, Diesel. 2-0 ball game. I think it took 2 hours and 7 minutes to play the game. That would have been one of those deals that we assumed once first pitch took place, we were done for the day. Had that been a 4 p.m. first pitch instead of 6 p.m., you and I would have found ourselves somehow making a show for about 20 minutes last night to close things out, or hopefully they would have let us switch to national radio. But, man, the beauty of a pitcher's duel, Jacob Hennessy from right over here at Burns High School, absolutely fantastic outing. Two pitchers for the Tigers. They shut down Furman. Furman uses Johnny Holstaff, and on those midweek games, when you do that, it can get out of hand. So a hell of an effort by the Furman Paladins as well. So this is what we have coming up in college baseball this weekend. First of all, South Carolina, they visit the Florida Gators. They need SEC wins. South Carolina, what, 3-9 in SEC play? I get it, a lot of injuries and everything else, but the further you get removed from that run back in the day, the further it's going to, the more difficult it's going to be to get back to that precipice, if you will. So these games rounding out the year for South Carolina, you just don't want to lose confidence. You don't want that apathy setting in, which I can see now setting in with Clemson basketball to a certain extent. So all these series are really big, and Florida's a little down as compared to years past, so it's imperative for the Gamecocks tonight to get a win at Florida and try to find a way to get 2 out of 3. Now, here in the upstate, your weekend series, Clemson at Florida State, that's Friday through Saturday, weather permitting. We'll give way at 5:30 tomorrow to the Clemson Sports Network for that 3-game series down in Tallahassee with the Seminoles. East Tennessee State's at Furman. It's a big 3-game set for the Furman Paladins. They're 4-5 in Southern Conference play. So right there in the middle of the pack. Also, our friends up at Wofford, they host VMI. And, of course, Wofford 4-2. They are series behind the Furman Paladins when it comes to the schedule right now. So a lot of college baseball going on here in the upstate, which includes our friends over in Spartanburg with the Upstate Spartans. They will be hosting a 3-game set with PC this weekend, Presbyterian College Diesel. And we'll talk with the athletic director at 5:20. But Upstate found a way to get you to their baseball game this weekend. All right? I know you're not, it would be so tough to rip that fishing rod out of your hand. You know what I mean? That's kind of been your weekend thing here recently, right? Finding a way to go fish on Sundays. Upstate, as they host PC this weekend for their softball and baseball games, they're going to have a beer garden. That might be a way to get Diesel out for college baseball in a way, because I have a feeling when you and your buddies go fishing on these trips, y'all have your own little beer garden at some point during the day. Is that a fair way of looking at things with your fishing excellence that's going on right now?
Well, typically I actually don't take beer with me when I go fishing. That's just more stuff you got to carry, especially if you got to hike a long way in. So I really don't. That doesn't mean I won't. I just haven't recently. Okay.
But that would be a good way to get you out to a college baseball game, right? A beer garden?
You know, it's amazing to see these rules slackening by the NCAA, because, you know, obviously for so long, all of these venues were alcohol free. And, you know, if that's, I don't know that that's the end-all, be-all solution to get people to actually come out to your games, but it helps.
All right, couple more things before we come back. We'll open up the phone lines in the second segment. We'll give you our question of the day, if you will, here. And we want your involvement. You can get in with us, of course, by giving us a phone call, 844-GSP-ESPN. You can hit us up on Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. I'll have the text line open. That's 71307. That's the Health There text line. We just ask you to put ESPN at the front of the text so we can get to it a little bit quicker. And also me at Sturgis Sports and at Diesel on Radio. So we'll do that here in a second. But Twitter is a fire right now. You realize, Diesel, that social media, and particularly when it comes to sports and our job with Sports Talk Radio, the court of public opinion is Twitter. Is that a fair way of saying things when it comes to being involved with the sports talk show? All right, Twitter is exploding. The Braves just pulled off another move. They just got Ozzie Albies to commit. Remember, he played in the All-Star game last year. 22 years old. They just got Ozzie Albies to commit to a 7-year, $35 million extension. Great for Ozzie Albies. What Twitter is afoot about is what a great deal that is for the Braves. Some of the talking heads in Major League Baseball are saying this is the worst contract signing they've seen in a while. Now, you know, 7 years, $35 million, and then the Braves got two option years as well. So you add that to Ronald Acuna. The Braves have now tied up for basically the next decade. They're two. Not one, but two young 22-year-old, 21-year-old stars. What a move that is being done by that front office. And listen, you know, Ozzie Albies didn't have to sign it. I don't think anybody forced him to, Diesel. Maybe there is some comfort in the way that the Braves have helped these young guys transition to the United States out of the Caribbean. And that, you know, and there's a trust factor there. So they said, you know what? It's not the worst thing in the world to sign a contract at $5 million a year. You add that to shoe contracts and everything else, and that's going to go up. But obviously, Ozzie Albies thought it was a good enough deal for him to make the commitment to the Braves. Who are we to judge on Twitter when it comes to that? But remember, it's better to be morally correct in this day and age. But the Braves did get rained out at Colorado last night. So here is your National League East. Right now, the Phillies, the Mets, and the Atlanta Braves are all tied for first in the National League East with a 7-4 record. The Washington Nationals just one game behind at 6-5. I am telling you, the National League East is going to be a slugfest this year. Braves come home tonight, 7:20, I think, first pitch, as they host the overrated New York Mets. All right, so here's the deal, Diesel. When we come back, we'll give you some thoughts that Dabo Swinney had when it comes to opponents on the upcoming Clemson schedule and some things that he wants to see. But your question here in the show today doesn't have to be from the Clemson's perspective. Doesn't have to be from the South Carolina. Vol Nation, Tennessee, Stephen with Army. This is your question of the day. If you could see your team at a home-and-home series with anyone in college football, who would it be as well as a yearly opponent? And I'll give you some thoughts on who I wrote down for Clemson, South Carolina, my Alabama Crimson Tide. But that's something everybody can do. And guess what? It can't be the New Mexico State Aggies twice in one season because, you know what, at that point, you're just trying to chalk up wins. But if you could see your team, your favorite college football team, schedule a home and home with anyone, who would it be? Or, like Dabo Swinney suggested, Clemson should play Georgia every single season. We'll come back with those comments as well. 844-GSP-ESPN. Tiger Woods bogeys number 17, so he moves to number 18, one shot off the lead. Justin Harding, Adam Scott, they're the leader in the clubhouse, -3 at Augusta National. John Rahm, Gary Woodland, and Patton Kazeri. Isn't there a comedian? Is it Adam Kazeri?
I think you're thinking of Patton Oswalt.
No, I know Patton Oswalt. He was, but no, I thought there was a Kazeri. All right. So anyway, they're tied all at -3 in a large group. It includes J.B. Holmes, Tiger Woods, and Ricky Fowler at -2. All right. It's never too soon to look ahead to college football. I mean, really. We just seen in the last couple of weeks, Clemson announced a home-and-home series with Oklahoma where the Sooners will come play in Death Valley in 2035, and Clemson will do the return trip in 2036. Well, Bama wanted to beat Clemson to the punch in something this year. Well, they just announced a home-and-home with Oklahoma in like 32 and 33. So It's never too early to be looking down the road when it comes to college football. Of course, the other thing going on this weekend, a lot of other spring games, not Clemson and South Carolina who played last weekend, but my Crimson Tide plays this weekend. So Dabo Swinney was asked about scheduling, and people want to know, is there really any benefit to scheduling a game 15, 18 years down the road? The athletic directors will tell you yes. Number two. The other thing you're seeing, Diesel, neutral site games fading out. We had that kind of happen for a decade, which now people don't like. You know what I love and will remember about these neutral site contests is it gave us good matchups, which gave us the bounce effect to get it back to home and homes versus being played on a neutral site. We had to get those matchups first before we could get back to the home and homes of them.
Yeah, but the problem is they started turning these neutral site games into preseason bowl games.
Yes.
It's who's the best opponent we can schedule, and then after there was one, and then there was two, and then there was four, and then there was eight, and there was so many neutral site games that it takes away from the fans who deserve to have these big opponents come to their stadiums. I mean, if you've got a home and home with Washington and Auburn, and you're playing it in Alabama, or playing it in Atlanta, that totally screws the Washington fans.
Right.
Sure, the Auburn fans have an easy, neutral site, but even if you played it geographically in the middle, which would be, I don't know, Indianapolis,
Kansas City,
that screws both of those fan bases on as a whole. So there's a lot of people who can't make it to those. Look, I think it's a lot better for college football for a fan base to be able to see a big name opponent travel to their stadium, especially if you're talking long distances where you don't get to see these guys every year. It's special. It's something different and exciting.
But we had phased out at one point outside the rivalry games. It was who can you get for a home game to get to the bowl eligibility. And that's so my point being, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. We say that very often on this show. Atlanta started the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic, and then you saw Dallas get involved, and then Houston, and now Charlotte. And my point being, at least we use that bounce effect from those matchups to get it back to home and home. So Dabo Swinney, when talking about schedules coming up, had this to say. We should play Georgia every year if it was up to me. We're 80 miles away, and they need a game, and we need a game. We had to travel to Texas A&M last year when we could have gone 80 miles over to Athens. For years and years and years, Clemson and Georgia played every year, and somewhere along the line, that went away. It's a tough game because they're one of the best teams in the country, but it's a great game for the fans, and we have to play people. I'd just as soon play them than have to go all the way somewhere else just to get a game.
My only response to that is you really limit your ability, especially with Clemson, because you already have an annual out-of-conference series with South Carolina. You already automatically have an annual home game versus an in-state group of five or FCS,
excuse me.
So with Clemson, I think that greatly limits what you can do. I wouldn't mind seeing back-to-back games take a year off. Back-to-back games, take a year off. That still offers you a little more flexibility in there. I mean, with Clemson, you don't want your schedule to be set all but two games every single year. That doesn't give you a whole lot of freedom to go out there and get creative with your matchups.
You'll get tired of it after a while.
Well, I don't know if you get tired of it.
For the rivalry, but for the out-of-conference rivalry.
If you want to, as long as you don't use those other two games to go out and schedule a San Jose State or somebody like that.
UConn.
And I'm not knocking San Jose State. I'm just saying they are a long-distance opponent that aren't going to bring any fans, and you're going to trounce them by 50, and there's really no point in scheduling them anyway. If you're going to schedule somebody that you're probably going to barn door, then, why not schedule an East Carolina? Why not schedule a Memphis or somebody that's relatively local that you can that will bring some fans?
Well, this year, Texas A&M comes to Clemson in one of the premier out-of-conference matchups. It's not a rivalry game, per se. In 2020, the Tigers go to Notre Dame. And, of course, we know Clemson, South Carolina ends every season. 21 is where the hole is. That's going to be interesting. 22, the Tigers back at Notre Dame. 2023 Notre Dame back in Clemson before Clemson and Georgia play in the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic in 2024 with a home-and-home coming up in 29 and 30.
So 844-GSP-ESPN, who do you want your team to schedule every year in an out-of-conference matchup? Somebody that you're not playing regularly.
Yeah, and so here's what I came up with. Jotted this down. When it comes to Clemson, and I don't want to speak for all Clemson fans, but I think most of us that are somewhat my age remember Clemson and Georgia playing year in, year out. It is actually interesting, Diesel. If the pilot is taking the right approach, right flight path in from Atlanta to Greenville, on certain days you can see Sanford Stadium in Athens and look off in the distance and see Death Valley. Literally. So I think that's an obvious, and we'd love to get that back. But home and home, you know, a 1-2 game off deal. You know, Clemson's got home and homes coming up with LSU. It's reported they're in the works with Texas, obviously a 3-game set with Georgia. Auburn coming back up for a home and home. So there's always been that two SEC teams a year. They do have Oklahoma breaking in the 2030s. So home and home for Clemson. If they're kind of Hollywood right now, if you will, Diesel, you know, the creme de la creme, obviously defending national champion, won two out of the last three championships. Bama and Clemson have kind of separated themselves, if you will, from the rest of college football right now. And then, of course, Trevor Lawrence being referred to by some out there as Sunshine, based off of Ronnie Bass in the movie Remember the Titans. So if Clemson's kind of Hollywood and one of the hottest names out there in college football right now, my home and home, two-game series I'd like to see Clemson schedule, Southern Cal. Because they're actually recruiting in California right now. They got West Coast guys coming in to be part. Clemson is one of those name programs now that guys are waiting on. Number two reason I'd like to see Clemson Southern Cal come in is there Southern Cal football fans everywhere, Diesel, much like Notre Dame. People that never went to the school there, that just, you know, Heisman Trophy, you all that. I'd like the opportunity to go see Traveler in the marching band out in Los Angeles the following year. So that's the reasons I chose that for Clemson on a home and home. So yearly, obviously Georgia makes way too much sense. You know, the bad part about it, you're talking about two of the top four programs in college football that if they played year in, year out right now, and of course, everything in life is cyclical, but one of those two teams is counting. You cannot, they're looking at a loss every single year. But the question is, will you make it up, you know, by having a much more difficult schedule? So, you know, with Clemson, my yearly is Georgia. My home and home is Southern Cal. For South Carolina, and again, give us your opinion at 844-GSP-ESPN. You can hit us up on the Help There text line. That's 71307. We'll get to those when we come back. But for South Carolina, they played North Carolina a lot right now. They opened up the year a few years ago, which I think it was Jadeveon Clowney's last season. They opened up the year in Columbia. This upcoming season, they play the neutral site matchup in Charlotte. I don't think of South Carolina, you know, the University of South Carolina and the University of North Carolina is necessarily rivals, if you will. North Carolina thinks they're better than anybody. Is that fair?
Sure. I'm sure North Carolina fans look at South Carolina fans like a bunch of rednecks down south, and mm-hmm. South Carolina fans look at North Carolina fans like a bunch of snooty, hoity-toity Tar Heel fans up north.
All right. However, for my yearly opponent for the Gamecocks, I am remaining in the Tar Heel state. Back in the day, NC State and South Carolina got pretty bitter, and it really kind of ended at one point, if you will, with South Carolina quarterback Todd Ellis tearing up his knee his senior year against NC State, which a lot of South Carolina fans like, that was a dirty play. And they, I mean, it kind of got caught up after the game. We're not playing them anymore. But every year South Carolina and NC State got together, I felt like they were more equals, if you will. And that's not far away. And NC State's going to put 15,000 to 18,000 fans in Williams-Brice Stadium and vice versa up there in Raleigh. So that would be my yearly choice for the Gamecocks. They're home and home, you know, 1-2 year type of deal. I thought, because South Carolina's been everywhere in my lifetime. They played at Southern Cal. They played at Michigan. Not sure if they played at Notre Dame or not, but this is who I came up with and why. For my home and home for the Gamecocks, Diesel, I got Michigan State. And this is why. Mark D'Antonio is probably the most successful former South Carolina Gamecock in the coaching world. He's had a long run there at Michigan State. So that's why I would like to see a 2-year series home and home with the Michigan State Spartans. Why? Because of that touch when it comes to Mark D'Antonio. So give us your thoughts. We're going to hear Diesel's on App State, mine on Alabama. We're going to continuously update you on the Masters tournament going on roughly 100 miles down the road in Augusta.
Why not Florida State? For South Carolina.
They used to play a lot.
I could see that as an annual series that South Carolina would run right now. I mean, they would run away with it for at least a couple of years until Florida State gets their feet back under them. They would five-peat. Yeah. Against Florida State the way they are right now.
Yeah, back in the days of independence for both of those institutions, South Carolina and Florida State played quite frequently. No doubt about it. But like I said, there was something about that old school NC State, South Carolina game, something kind of bitter. Something memorable took place every year. A la Diesel. Lou Holtz's first game as coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks in that infamous first year where they did not win a game. I believe they lost in Raleigh to open up that season 10-0 in a hurricane. So my point being, it was a terrible ball game. Goodman, I believe, was the quarterback for the South Carolina Gamecocks. It was a terrible ball game, but we remember it for the 8 inches of rain that came down between kickoff and the end of the ball game. 10-0 NC State. We'll take your phone calls, your opinions, 844-GSP-ESPN, because outside of your thoughts, who are those best out-of-conference matchups in 2019? So we've been talking a little bit of college football 2019, if you will, looking at, you know, Dabo Swinney's comments. Clemson should play Georgia every single year. So that kind of brought up to me the topic today on what's a gorgeous Thursday afternoon, the first day of the Masters. What team would you like yours to schedule? Either home and home, 2 years, or every year on the schedule. With Clemson, I came up with Georgia yearly. A home and home with Southern Cal, because Clemson's kind of Hollywood right now. Number two, I don't think they've ever played each other. For South Carolina, yearly, I picked NC State. Why? Because that was a little bit of a that one had a nasty, nasty edge at some point back in the day. Those are two fan bases that would pack each other's stadium out. For a home and home, Michigan State, why? Because Because the Mark D'Antonio relationship. So, Diesel, App State, you guys right now have been kind of fortunate when it comes to group of five teams. You've had a visit from Miami. You've had a visit from, what, Wake Forest? So you're doing a little bit better than the average Joe at that level when it comes to maybe how many because I know Arkansas State back in the day had Miami, but because of weather, it got rained out. And, of course, Miami will never reschedule that game coming up. But if you could have a home and home, let's start with that.
Well, let's also not forget future series scheduled with home games in Boone against North Carolina, South Carolina, and East Carolina.
Okay.
But if we're talking who I would think App State would match up well with as an annual series, Wake Forest would be a fantastic annual series. Duke would be a fantastic annual series. East Carolina would be a very good annual series. I think those teams would turn into bitter rivalries back and forth. I think those are they're probably more or less on par with each other for as far as talent-wise and as far as what would be a good back-and-forth type series, something that's not going to be completely one-sided.
Well, didn't Wake Forest, didn't y'all play growing up when you were younger at Wake, like on Saturday nights, and beat them about 5 out of 7 years? And Wake Forest said, screw this, we're not scheduling App State anymore.
Right.
And, you know, maybe you swap off Wake and Duke, you know, like you were saying, every 2 years, maybe swap those off. Now, for the sheer fun of it, how about a home and home? I mean, you've been to Michigan when you guys played there, but yeah, because like I said, my thoughts on Clemson and Southern Cal. Clemson's one of the it names in college football right now. That's right. Kind of Hollywood, as we refer to it.
God, I mean, it would obviously never happen, but pure fantasy. I'd love to see the Wolverines come down.
Yeah,
I mean, I think they. We don't have the stadium capacity for it, so it's not really a viable option. But to have them finally come down for a home-and-home series, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Retribution is how you build that. You know what I mean?
We're still 1-1 against the mighty Michigan Wolverines.
That's right. Now, I bet you Jim Harbaugh doesn't have the cojones in which to pull that move off. All right, for Alabama. Because we played a little bit of everybody almost, it feels like. For my yearly, I go back to playing Notre Dame every year. When I was in college, I think we played them 4 out of 5 years, and it was fun. Notre Dame, even when Notre Dame's down, when Notre Dame shows up, it's that it factor, kind of like what we were saying about Zion. I figured that one out at the NCAA tournament. So yearly, number two. I'd love to get a reprint. I actually have this one in my house if you've ever looked at it real closely, but Steve Beuerlein getting absolutely decapitated back in Legion Field back in the day by Cornelius Bennett on top, in the topper part of his torso, and Derek Thomas at the waist. I mean, I remember that day, and I'm not joking. There were people going, is he dead? So yearly Notre Dame, nothing wrong with that. I'd like to reschedule a home and home with Penn State. We used to play them when I was in college every year as well. So those are some
both of... Both very original when it comes to uniforms, by
that,
the way.
That too. But I can honestly say this.
In which case, why don't you just play Georgia Southern? You could save the money and not have to pay them as much to travel.
They'd have to take the numbers off the helmet. But my getting back to it, Penn State's got some of the finest fans that I've ever interacted with.
They really do.
So when we come back, we'll continue. You can get in with us on a Masters. Tigers in the house at -2, one shot off the lead. Diesel, before we get out here during this break, because we've got the Daniel Fague, the athletic director from Upstate, the Spartans at 520, and then Danf's -3 is your clubhouse leader. You've got Harding, Adam Scott, John Rahm, and Kaziri all at -3. A group at -2 that includes J.B. Holmes, Gary Woodland, Tiger Woods, Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, and Phil Mickelson, all that in a big group at -2. At -1, Tony Finau, who a lot of people picked, not to mention Tommy Fleetwood, Kevin Na, Ian Poulter, Jason Day, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, the two-time defending U.S. Open champion. A large group at even, which includes Roy McIlroy, Webb Simpson. My point being, Matt Kuchar, this is a really, really stacked leaderboard after one day there in Augusta. And as you well know, over the course of the weekend, it is likely to tighten up. So a heck of a first round there at the Masters. And we'll also give you some of those storylines that we're looking for. But again, college football 2019, who would you like to see show up on your favorite team's schedule? Again, I don't think Jim Harbaugh in the Michigan Wolverines have the guts to take it to Boone, North Carolina. But I can tell you, one of our listeners' teams, his team has the guts to take it to Ann Arbor this year. What are some of the best out-of-conference matchups? Last night on social media, I saw Diesel with Buck Cherry, and I'm thinking, Diesel, in today's day and age, in 2019, what microbrew were you having? And then I thought that was crazy. You know what I mean? How'd that go last night? Buck Cherry in studio with you. They're playing at the Firmament right over here off Woodruff Road tonight here in Greenville.
Yeah, man, we had a blast. Those guys are really cool. We had Stevie D, Josh Todd, and Kelly all in the studio to play a game. We had a couple listeners in there as well. At one point, I counted there were 13 people in the Planet Air studio. So it was definitely a tight fit squeezing that many people in there, but it was a game called Agree to Disagree with Rock Trivia. So I'd ask the artists who I'd paired each one of them with a winner, a listener who was in the studio, and I would ask them a rock trivia question. The artist knew the correct answer because I gave them the correct answer, but they could choose to give the wrong answer.
Right.
And then the listener stepped up to the microphone and had the chance to agree or disagree with them. And it turned out to be a lot of fun. They were supposed to come in and do an acoustic song, and that fell through at the last minute. I think the singer's voice just needed a night off. And so we gave him a night off, and we wanted to give the listeners something unique and fun that they could come in and do and interact with the band in a way that they'll never get a chance to do again. So I thought it was a blast.
Touring here in the South right now probably means sucking an inch of yellow pollen down the vocal pipes every single day. The last 2 days, it looks like, I don't know, somebody opened up Country Time Lemonade on top of my car when I walk out there.
Well, imagine as an artist getting out there and shouting for an hour and a half every single night. Your voice is going to get tired. Your voice needs a break.
So can I ask this much? Because most people remember their song, She's a Crazy, and then we'll leave it at that. You know,
y'all crazy. But
yeah. All right. How has the road treated Buck Cherry over the last decade or so?
Lots of energy. They all came in with a coffee, so maybe there was something else in that brew. I don't know, but man, they came in fired up and ready to go, and they're ready to kill it tonight at the Firmament. Tickets are still available, so you can get them.
All right, man, go see Buck Cherry tonight. So who are some of the best out-of-conference matchups? Remember, Dabo Sweeney said earlier this week he wants to reestablish the Clemson rivalry with Georgia. It's a game that should be played every year. Clemson has home-and-home scheduled with Oklahoma in 34 and 35. Alabama has a home-and-home with Oklahoma, now scheduled for 2032-2033. So that's 14 years down the road. Who are playing this year in some of the best out-of-conference matchups? And, yes, I'm sucking up to one of our listeners. I cut it off at this one. Army at Michigan on September 7th. Because Army won, what, 11 games last year? Methodical. Remember, they should have knocked off Oklahoma when they held the ball, what, 44 minutes of that ball game out in Norman, but somehow Oklahoma gets it in overtime, I think, and wins. That's one of those moments with Jim Harbaugh that you could go, wow, they're going down to Army, the black and gold.
At Carolina King 864 gets in with us on Twitter, says he wants to see, I assume he's talking about the annual rivalry of Florida State and Southern Cal. I don't really see a connection. Maybe you know more of a connection than I do with those two schools. But, you know, I'm thinking more regional, somebody that you can drive to every single year to play.
I think he you know, and on social media, you can't always put it in. But the two things that they do at Southern Cal, Traveler comes out on the field, the white horse with the, with the Trojan on top with the sword. And, of course, at South Carolina, it's Chief Osceola, you got to be careful you don't say Osceola, but he comes out on Renegade and does the spear into the ground. So whoever wins that game should get the right to have their mascot riding on the horse for the rest of the season. So that's what the similarity. Also, East Coast, West Coast. Remember, the rap industry sold that rivalry to the point it killed their two biggest stars in Tupac and Biggie.
If I'm Florida State, I would see maybe more feasible would be an annual against Auburn, against Alabama, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, one of those two teams. I don't know how much connection any of those schools have in the past, but you know, somebody you can drive to and travel to every year.
Yeah, and of course, you're talking about a Florida State. They played Alabama in a neutral site game in Jacksonville about 7 years ago. Back when I was in college, Auburn and Florida State nearly played each other every year. So, you know, those are big ball games. And again, you can text us on the Health Air text line, 71307. Better yet, give us a call on this gorgeous Thursday, first day of the Masters, 844-GSP-ESPN. Some of the other big out-of-conference games in 2019. TCU at Purdue. Remember, Purdue, one of the hottest names right now out there with Jeff Brohm since he took over. And, of course, TCU doesn't have enough depth that they just canceled their spring game. Matter of fact, our buddy Chris Smith, you think he's glad that Ryan Day takes over for Urban Meyer and he turns him into a powder puff football team in Columbus? They're not even tackling in their spring game. Now, I get the fact, like, with Clemson, they rushed Trevor Lawrence and it was two-hand touch, but everything outside that was tackling. Ryan Day's not man enough for the Ohio State Buckeyes to go tackle in their spring game. That's why you get beat in the big games later on during the year, Diesel. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it because not tackling in the spring game. Listen, Lane Kiffin and FAU, they'll probably roll all over those aforementioned Buckeyes on August 31st. Also, September 14th, you got the return of last year's matchup in the desert, Arizona State at Michigan State. This one's interesting if they get to actually play the game, Diesel, because last year or the last couple of years, UCF, 2 years removed as being the defending national champion, they did not get to play, North Carolina up there in Chapel Hill due to weather. So the Stanford Cardinal, talking about East Coast, West Coast, Stanford coming to UCF to play on September 14th. That's going to be a big weekend, no doubt about it. How about Boise State at Florida State? That game takes place on August 31st. Not as sexy as it would have been 5 years ago, but that's still a pretty good matchup there. Oklahoma is going out and playing at UCLA on September 14th. Also, you got your neutral site games to open the year, Duke versus Alabama, South Carolina versus North Carolina, Auburn versus Oregon at Jerry World, Miami versus Florida now on August 24th from Camping World Stadium. And listen, not too many are going to be I'll go ahead and mark it down, in my opinion. It'll be a battle between Texas A&M at Clemson and LSU at Texas for ESPN College Game Day. Both of those matchups taking place on September 7th. And then September 21st, maybe the best matchup of them all when it comes to out-of-conference in 2019. Notre Dame's coming to Georgia. Remember, the Bulldogs went up to South Bend back in, 2017? I think it was, won by a single point. And now Notre Dame makes the return engagement in Athens. So, Diesel, when we come back, we'll give them an update from the Masters, the first round, what to pay attention to this weekend. And then at 5:20 is the Upstate Spartans athletic director right here on Straight Up with Sturge. A big couple of weekends over on campus in Spartanburg over the next 2 weeks. And we'll tell you about that with Daniel Fague. And then, of course, 6:37. It's Dan Favalli from the lead NBA writer for the Bleacher Report. Those NBA playoffs begin on Saturday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.